This goes to Dr. Michelle, Michelle Nelson, Nelson. Fax 989-629-8145. And Dr. Kerpostman, Kerpostman, fax 989-956-4105. Regarding Janice, it's J-A, N like November, A-C-E, Miser, M like Mary, I, Z like Zebra, E-R. Date of birth, January 4th, 1944. Dear doctors, this is an urgent consultation for Mrs. Miser, who was sent for evaluation of worsening creatinine levels. She's had a recent hospitalization. She had required a TAVR, T-A-V-R, September 5th of 2023 in Midland. And at the same time, she was found to have severe stenosis in the right iliac, external iliac artery and femoral artery also. So she required stent placement in both arteries at the same time. Following hospitalization, she developed severe anemia. She was hospitalized 2 days, which was the 5th of September through the 7th. She believes that she received blood while in the hospital, and she was sent home. She was going to have a follow-up visit the next day, but the husband reported that she started vomiting blood. So they called an ambulance. She was taken to Elma ER. She was stabilized but found to have a hemoglobin of 5, and so she was transported down to Henry Ford Hospital, where she was hospitalized for more than a week. She required about 8 units of packed red blood cells to correct the anemia. She did have a pill EGD, and that did find a small duodenal AVM. They weren't sure if that was actually contributing to the GI bleeding, if it had actually healed at the time of the study. But there were some areas of erythema noted in the duodenum. But otherwise, the small duodenal AVM was the most significant finding. She is feeling better now. And she does have mild dementia, so her husband is the best historian who is present with her at this visit. She didn't have any symptoms of arterial stenosis of the lower extremities prior to the TAVR procedure, so that was rather surprising to both her and her husband. Her biggest complaint today, she has severe chronic low back pain. She has known spinal stenosis and actually has had surgery on her lumbar spine several years ago. She reports the surgery worked for many years, but now since hospitalization for the valve replacement and the GI bleeding, the back pain seems much worse. Currently, she denies headaches or dizziness, no chest pain or palpitations. She does have dyspnea on exertion, none currently at rest, no orthopnea or PND, no nausea, vomiting, or dysphagia, no diarrhea, blood, or melena. Urine is clear without cloudiness, foaminess, or blood, no foul odor. Occasional, she has some leakage of the urine. Usually incontinence occurs with coughing, but she usually can hold the urine and believes she can complete a 24-hour urine collection for us also. No unusual rashes. Past medical history is significant for type 2 diabetes, hyperlipidemia, coronary artery disease, congestive heart failure, rheumatoid arthritis, superior mesenteric artery stenosis, gastroesophageal reflux disease, monoclonal gammopathy of unknown significance, and she sees Dr. Akkad, it's A-K-K-A-D, on a regular basis. for labs to monitor progress. She's not had a bone marrow biopsy. At this point, he's just monitoring this condition. She does not believe she's done a 24-hour urine collection, and the husband agrees. And chronic low back pain. Past surgical history was previously reported, and in addition to the TAVR and the stent placement in the iliac and the femoral arteries, she had a cardiac catheterization with two stents placed in January of 2023. She was on Plavix, and it's unclear when that was stopped due to GI bleeding, whether it was during the recent TAVR or before that. The patient and husband are not sure. She did have a colonoscopy, reportedly normal, 6/14 of 23. She had the pill EGD at Henry Ford and lumbar spine surgery. Social history, the patient is an ex-smoker. She smoked less than a pack of cigarettes a day, but she quit about 15 years ago. She does not use alcohol or illicit drugs. She is married and lives with her husband, and she's retired. Family history is significant for lung and breast carcinoma and Lynch syndrome, L-Y-N-C-H. Review of systems, as stated above, otherwise negative. Drug allergies, she's allergic to Jardiance, and food allergies, she's allergic to strawberries. Medications, aspirin, 81 milligram daily, Lipitor, 40 milligram daily, Carvedilol, 6.25 milligram twice a day, ferrous sulfate, 325 milligram once daily, folic acid, one daily, and Entresto 41/51, one twice a day, Aldactone 25 milligram daily, vitamin C 100 milligram daily, vitamin B complex one daily, cod liver oil daily, vitamin B12 1,000 microgram once daily, turmeric root 1,000 milligram daily, and zinc 50 milligram daily. Vitamin E is 400 units, international units daily. She does not use any oral nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs for pain. Physical exam, height 63 inches, weight 183 pounds, pulse is 79 and regular. Oxygen saturation is 92% on room air. Blood pressure, left arm sitting, large adult cuff is 140 over 64. Neck is supple. There's no jugular venous distension, no carotid bruise, no lymphadenopathy. Tympanic membranes and canals are clear. Lungs are clear without rales, wheezes, or effusion. Heart is regular without murmur, rub, or gallop. Abdomen soft, non-tender, no ascites. Extremities, there's no peripheral edema, no evidence of cholesterol emboli. Fetal pulses are 2+, capillary refill is brisk at 2 seconds, and she has full sensation in her feet and lower extremities. And labs and diagnostic studies. Labs most recently were done 9/27 of 2023. Creatinine was 1.78 with estimated GFR of 29. 9/19 of 23, creatinine 1.49, the GFR is 36. 9/8 of 23, creatinine 1.93, GFR 26. 9/5 of 23, creatinine is 1.76, GFR 29. We also have a hemoglobin 9/27, and that is 10.4, normal white count, normal platelet levels. 9/8 of 23, when she went to the ER, the hemoglobin was 5.2, and that's when she was transferred to Henry Ford. We have a pro-BNP that was done 10/23 of 23. That is elevated at 4,510. 9/19/23, it was 5,590. 9/8/23, 3,740. August 23rd this year, 2,460. Prior to that, it was checked in 2014, and it was normal. ferritin level is 129. Iron saturation is 59%. Iron is 154. IgG is 1,709, normal IgA and normal IgM. Kappa free light chains, 8.19 normal ratio, and the free light chains, lambda free light chains, are 13.6. Prior to the 2023 labs, well, we have January 17th, 2023, creatinine was 1.6 with a GFR of 33 at the time of the cardiac cath, just before the cardiac cath. Then we have 5/26/21, creatinine 1.3. I have labs August 7th, 2020, creatinine 1.3, estimated GFR 40. 7/27 of 2020, creatinine 1.4, GFR 37. 6/9/2020, creatinine 1.4. 12/13/2019, creatinine was 1.1, GFR 48. 11/26/2019, creatinine 1.1, GFR 48. Normal creatinine of 7.3 of 18, 0.9, estimated GFR greater than 60. And her kidney ultrasound was done it was done January 12th, 2023. Right kidney was normal sized. She had a small right renal cyst that was stable and compared to a prior scan. Left kidney was slightly lower in size, 10.2. Right kidney was 11.5. No cysts, hydronephrosis, or masses. Bladder appeared mildly thicker, and pre-void urinary bladder volume was 75. No evidence of bladder stones. The most recent transthoracic echocardiogram was done 10/23 of this year. That was yesterday. It showed the ejection fraction around 44%, plus or minus 5%. She had the TAVR, biprosthetic aortic valve, without stenosis or regurgitation. There appeared to be moderate mitral regurgitation and grade 1 diastolic dysfunction. They did an echo 9/6 of 2023, a day after the valve was placed, and the ejection fraction was 47. It had gone up from 30% on the prior study. She had grade 2 diastolic dysfunction and severely dilated atria. Also, it appeared that the mitral valve might have had stenosis and some severe regurgitation on that study. And we also have CAT scan angiography done 9/10 of 2023 in Henry Ford. That showed no active evidence of GI bleed, but it showed diffuse atherosclerotic disease with areas of severe stenosis in the celiac, S like Sam, M like Mary, A, and renal arteries, and wedge-shaped areas of hypoattenuation involving the right kidney. Also, some possibly early acute diverticulitis was noted. She did have the pill EGD done, and that revealed a few red spots and the possible very small duodenal AVM. And the note says not likely contributing to the anemia or overt gastrointestinal bleeding. And she had had a recent upper EGD, and there were some areas of red spots, and that was what they were thought to be caused from the recent EGD. Assessment and plan. One is stage 4 chronic kidney disease. This is multifactorial possibilities making the kidney function worse. First could be the severe congestive heart failure, which appears to be improving after her TAVR procedure. She also has congestive heart failure, and that is noted and positive according to pro-BNP levels. Also, the three would be monoclonal gammopathy of uncertain significance, could also be causing kidney damage. and needs to be evaluated and followed. The plan is to continue to have labs done monthly, and we also will ask her to collect a 24-hour urine for Benz Jones protein. And she will do that this month. She should then have avoid all oral nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. We want to continue all current medications. And she's going to have a recheck visit with this practice in 4 to 6 weeks. The patient was also evaluated and examined by Dr. Fuente. It was a prolonged visit due to the complexity of her medical condition and the review of records from multiple hospitals. And she was evaluated and examined by Dr. Fuente. All care was coordinated with and directed and approved by him. Mary Stunner, CNP/Jose Fuente, MD.